We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Josh gets it, looks. Gets away from pressure, rolls to the right sideline, fires it downfield, got a man wide open, caught. Dawson Knox makes the catch at the 15, cruises into the end zone. Touchdown, Buffalo! Dawson Knox got open. Josh Evans prolonged the play, and the Bills cash in on two plays to take another touchdown. Wow! Holy mackerel!
Yeah, mackerel you could use. Sometimes I substitute other words for that, but whatever, mackerel works. Hey, if you're thinking of going, I know I tweeted this out yesterday because I was curious what the ticket prices were. Excuse me, what the ticket prices were on the secondary market. So if you're thinking of going to Kansas City, Kansas City, here you come. See, the lowest ticket prices yesterday had a range of 113 to 137. You know, upstairs, I didn't exactly look at locations, but I was just looking for lowest ticket price available. I checked. Okay, forget the rhyming thing. SeatGeek, StubHub, and TickPick, and I got a range of 113, 137. I got a few tweets from people who were flying in, going in, people, you know, Bills fans in Texas, parts of the Midwest that were going in for the game. I got some people tweeting about saving their money for a possible trip to Nashville or getting tickets if it's here, it's Cincinnati, so forth and so on. The weather should be good, and those are your ticket price ranges if you're thinking of going out to Kansas City Sunday night. Awesome city, great tailgating atmosphere, sea of red, wonderful smelling food, great town if you want to go get a nice juicy steak somewhere Saturday night. So a lot to be said about Kansas City if you're thinking of going.
If you are saving money, you might be saving money for a potential AFC championship game here.
Right. That's what I said. If Cincinnati comes here, you'd be saving money for that.
So the prices were for the playoff game. I'm not sure about everybody else. My ticket was the same as a regular game. And the AFC championship game, the indicated price is not – that's not the case. About my ticket is about three times the cost.
Mm-hmm.
Which you – hey, AFC championship game, you know, like –
If I were thinking about spending money, I personally would save my money. I would not go to this game in hopes of an AFC championship game here. We would have another discussion of a generation of fans who've never gone to a game at the stadium with the Bills having a chance to go to the Super Bowl if they win. So I would save my money, and I would hope, or even Nashville, whatever. I would save my money for an AFC championship matchup if the Bills are in it, and then go wherever I'd go because I'd love to see the Bills with a chance to go to the Super Bowl again.
It is it's wild. Like, I'm logged into my Bills account, and there's the AFC Championship logo. Technically, have a ticket. We have to find out if the game will be here.
Yeah.
But if it is, I've got a ticket, and it takes me back to, like, 2007, when I had – in 2006, when I had paper tickets to the Stanley Cup Final.
Yeah, that's right.
Never happened.
Did you
but
keep
I had
them?
Paper. I at one point had them in a little frame.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought you
and
did.
I don't know where that is anymore. So I probably couldn't put my hands on them, but yeah, I put those in a frame, the 2006 Stanley Cup Finals tickets.
That'd be pretty cool. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but just saying, I think it'd be awesome when we had that discussion last week, right? Of people like you or the generation of fans who had never been to a home playoff game, and you went and you experienced it, and it was about as memorable as it could possibly be. I think it'd be awesome, having lived through those, to be able to go to the stadium, if you've never had that before, to go to the stadium and sit there knowing if the Bills win this game, they're going to the Super Bowl. That's why, as great as Saturday night was, nothing other than the Bills winning whatever a Super Bowl, whatever top 51-3, It's an amazing feeling. I know. I'm sorry to be trying to get ahead of myself. It's an amazing feeling. If you go to a game in Orchard Park and the Bills win and you know, oh my God, we're going to the Super Bowl. That would be, knock on wood. Okay. First, you got to deal with Kansas City. So let's go back there. Get me back into Chiefs world here. You wanted to go through the Chiefs season, their resume,
well,
a little bit?
One of the big stories of this game is how their defense has completely turned around,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yep.
That start of the season, it was historically bad, and since then, they're pretty good. And I wondered, you know, all right, were there impressive wins along the way mm-hmm. that indicate a major change? Because they opened up their first few games. They played the Browns in their opener and gave up 29 points. They gave mm-hmm. up 36 to Baltimore, 30 to the Chargers, right?
Yep. 30 to
the Eagles, 38 to the Bills. And then things started to turn a little bit. They did get beat up by Tennessee 27-13.
Yeah.
But since Tennessee, like I want to look at who they've played, all right?
I want to say Ingram came in around week 9 or 10, by the way, right? I think.
Yeah.
I'll double check.
I think so. They didn't lose a game with Ingram until they lost to Cincinnati. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah, okay.
Yep.
Week 8, they play the Giants. Not impressed.
Yep.
They play the Packers.
With?
Jordan Love.
Correct.
Not impressed.
Nope.
They play the Raiders. Not impressed.
Yep.
They play the Cowboys and beat them 19-9.
That's the first game for me.
The defense looked really good.
Yes, in that discussion of the defense was giving up 30 points a game, and they were giving up. They were at historic levels of points and yards being given up through that first month and a half. To me, and I remember watching some of that game, that was the first time I thought, wow, okay, their defense is playing better because – now, as it turns out, you can say what you want about Dallas. I saw a stat on them yesterday. You know, they go 6-0 against the East and 6-7 or whatever it ends up against everybody else. But I thought that game, that's legit, shutting down Dak Prescott. Their offense did nothing in that matchup. And I was really impressed with Kansas City because, right, to that point, it's Daniel Jones, it's Jordan Love. I've never been a huge Carr guy.
Nope.
9 points Prescott, and I thought, that's really good.
Right, that's a nice performance.
Yeah.
If nothing else, you get a half point. But Dallas had games like that this year.
Sure.
Like you said, 6-7 outside the East. Okay, moving on. Then they had a bye. Then it's Denver and Bridgewater. Not impressed. The Raiders again. Not impressed.
Right.
Justin Herbert and the Chargers. 28 points. They win in overtime.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's not a historical good defensive day. That's a shootout.
Nope.
Right?
They gave up 58 points in the two games with the Chargers this year.
The Steelers, not
Forget
impressed.
It. Right, whatever.
This is in week 16. The Bengals, 34, and they lose.
Yeah.
Denver, 24 points. That's the Drew Lock Denver Broncos. He couldn't throw.
And if you look at that game, I got the numbers. I was looking
they
at that.
They got lucky to win it.
That's right, because of Melvin Gordon's fumble. If Melvin Gordon doesn't fumble, Denver might actually win that game. Now, it's funny, in the last two games, Jeremy, the defense has had a problem on one side. On one, either pass or run. So the Burrow game, I mean, he picks them apart. He wasn't that like 400 plus yards? I don't remember if he had 5 touchdowns in that game or 4 or whatever. Burrow picks them apart in that game. They can't stop Jamar Chase. Denver. Now, you'd think you'd be able to stop the Broncos running game because you wouldn't worry about Drew Lock beating you, right? And Denver has a huge game. Gordon tops 100 yards. Denver's running very successfully in that game up into the Gordon fumble. Drew Lock does nothing. He throws for like 160. So their pass defense was trashed by Burrow. And then really their run defense against the Broncos was bad in that game. As I said, they get a scoop and score. If not, they might lose that football game.
Yep.
And if they lose that football game, the Chiefs are, well, I'm trying to remember where they would have fallen in the seeding. Anyway, they wouldn't have been the 2 seed.
So it all adds up to, yeah, their defense definitely got better, but how much of it was the fact that they were playing really strong offenses,
right.
The Bills included, the Ravens with Lamar at the start of the season, the Chargers are in there, and the schedule got lighter. You know, one thing about the Chiefs in this matchup in this divisional playoff is they haven't seen many offenses like the Bills over that stretch, and when they do, they give up their points, right? Cincinnati and L.A., and they haven't faced many defenses like this.
Even if you go back to Baltimore, when Baltimore was relatively healthy. They had all those running back injuries in camp, but in week two, Lamar was still healthy, and they put up the Ravens put up 36 on them. I think with their defense, it's Jeremy, to me, it's really about the defensive line and what changed up there with Ingram and how that had a trickle-down effect on what they were able to do on the defensive line. I'm reading a whole bunch of articles on the defensive turnaround last night, actually. And they were making the point that in the beginning of the season, when they're giving up, you know, 30-plus points and getting trashed on a regular basis, they were blitzing more than they were blitzing a lot because they were trying to do something to bail out their defense. They were having problems, but they were the four-man rush couldn't get in, and they're blitzing. Well, they're still not getting to quarterbacks, and the problem is they're getting picked apart, and they're giving up all these passing yards and all these passing touchdowns. So what happens? They trade for Melvin Ingram. When Melvin Ingram comes in, his presence helps on one side. Frank Clark is now playing better on the other side in the last half of the season because you've got Clark and Ingram, and they were playing Chris Jones outside. He's not, I mean, he's good, right? But he's a destructive force inside. So when they get Ingram, they move Jones back to defensive tackle. So it's really like they fortified three spots up front just by getting Melvin Ingram from the Pittsburgh Steelers. That spot occupied by Ingram, Clark, and then Jones goes inside where he is far more effective. So the linebackers, the secondary, that stuff didn't change. I think they were blitzing less, but it seems like in a nutshell, the significance to the defense was what happened up front and how that impacted three different positions, the one trade they made with Pittsburgh for Ingram. So it's a different looking defensive line, I think, than the one the Bills faced in week five. And I think it was Mike, one of the callers in the first hour, pointed out, what are you going to do to make sure Chris Jones, he's not Aaron Donald, but what are you going to make sure he's not a disruptive force inside? And I don't know if that's more moving Josh around. Kansas City is going to want to keep him in the pocket, right? They're going to want to contain him. But if you're the Bills, I think you have to be aware of how your interior blocking handles the push they're going to get from Chris Jones. And what do you do to compensate against that if he's providing some problems, if the pocket's being collapsed? It's mm-hmm. a big difference to me, the defensive line, as opposed to, you know, any changes or improvements in the linebacker in the secondary unit. They're playing better up front.
For sure.
So, and I think with their offense too, you know, like Mahomes is Mahomes. You know, he went through a stretch where all of a sudden there were interceptions. I saw a stat on that yesterday. He had a career high 13 picks this year. Seven of them bounced off his own guys or something like that, right? Yeah. So there was a little bit of bad luck involved in that. But he's still Mahomes, and he still makes great plays, and he had 500 something yards rushing. So you have to worry about that, and. You know, I know you were texting back and forth with our boss, and I think it's an interesting point. We're going to talk about Hill, and we're going to talk about Kelsey. But last week, they got a real spark from Jerick McKinnon. Like running and receiving. He had 140-something total yards in their win over Pittsburgh, so he was a weapon running the ball, but he was also a weapon catching the ball, and it's another speed option out there, right? The Chiefs put so much speed on the field on offense. Well, he adds to that too, and I think it'll be really interesting what they do at running back. Do they stick with him? Do they split carries three ways? You know, I don't know what they're going to do, but I wouldn't have been overly concerned about Edwards-Helaire or Williams, but McKinnon brought another element to their offense last week in the win over the Pittsburgh Steelers. So I think that's a guy you have to watch for, not ahead of Hill and Kelsey, but you got to watch for that if they indeed let him touch the ball as much as he did in the Steelers game. He was a nice weapon for them. Let's get some calls in. 803-0550. We're talking Bills Chiefs all day, all week. And we want to hear from you about the game. How confident are you about this matchup on Sunday night, Bills fans? We will get connected with our fans, and we'll go to Ron and Alden next. Ron, you're on WGR. Go right ahead.
Good morning, gentlemen. Happy hump day.
Thank you.
You know, I want to talk about a rushing game. You know, I'm not all about the whole balancing. I mean, if you run, you got to be able to run. If that's what your plan is, do the best you can. Since week 13, I don't know if you guys saw that stat, Singletary is fourth in the NFL in rushing yards, and I don't know if it was 7 touchdowns or 9 touchdowns, but either way, that's impressive. I can't remember the exact number, but he is fourth in the NFL in rushing yards since week 13, and Josh Allen is 7th in rushing yards since week 13. So, you know, I don't know what happened earlier in the year. You know, I was never worried about the run game. I just know we have a good offense. As far as this weekend, I look at it this way. I think our offense is at least as good as Kansas City's, if not better, but two great quarterbacks. But our defense is definitely better. And in the end of the day, I don't care if we win 50 to 45. As long as we score every single time we have the ball, because that's what we're supposed to do, I'm good. You know, but I think overall, I'm not really concerned except until game time. Then I always get really nervous. I'm always confident until the game starts. And then I got to get through the first quarter to a wrap. But, hey, you guys have a great rest of the weekend. Howard, by the way, real quick, I want to thank you for 2 years ago when you helped me with that charity event down at Riverworks. The charity has since closed down because of COVID, but you've always been very helpful with BB&D charities, and I really appreciate you, man. Have a great day.
Thanks, Ron. Appreciate the call. Yeah, it's a good thing you haven't set the bar high. You know, you're only expecting them to score every time they touch the ball. I guess that won't happen on Sunday. If it does, I really feel good about the Bills' chances.
Yeah. I don't know which offense ended with the higher like efficiency scores or points per game. I don't really know.
Points per game, it's almost a dead heat. The Bills had 28-4. Kansas City was 28.2.
Okay.
I didn't see the Bills' efficiency level, but Kansas City, I want to say, was third in the Football Outsiders DVOA or whatever they were. I read something about efficiency. Kansas City's been top three each of the last 3 years, so they're still right near the top of the list.
What I was going to mention there is just – I think this is maybe the first year you could very credibly say, I think the Bills have the better offense.
Yeah.
Because while it's had its shares of ups and downs, the Chiefs have had, it feels like, I don't want to say it feels like, that's like very unscientific, right? But I feel like the season has been more about their ups and downs than the Bills.
Yeah.
On offense.
Well, they went through a pretty big, actually theirs was kind of a peak and valley. I think the Bills were more of a weekly roller coaster ride, but Kansas City hit a major – well, the defense was in a funk the first month and a half. And then, you know, you documented it going through their schedule. Their offense hit a stretch of, what, 6 or 7 games where they just didn't look like vintage Mahomes in Kansas City. So they're kind of up and down in an extended amount of time, whereas the Bills were sometimes 1 week they'd look really good, and then the next week they'd have some struggles, and then they'd come up and – I think the Bills' offense, I mean, Josh is playing at an extremely high level and has done so pretty much all season. You know, Mahomes has had his peaks and valleys, but I think Josh has been inside the roller coaster ride of the season. I think that's less about Josh. I think he's been very consistent. The Bills' offense is playing its best ball of the season. I'm not telling you they need to run more, but when they run, obviously, the caller pointed out the Singletary numbers. You're right. He's fourth. Allen is seventh. And I think Singletary, it's like 8 touchdowns in the last 6 games. They're running the ball better. From a running back perspective, they actually have someone who can get you positive plays out of the running back position. I mean, we spent the first, I don't know, up to beyond Thanksgiving, whatever, whenever they played Tampa, we spent the first 2 months of the season going, is it Singletary? Nope. All right, let's try Moss. No, let's give Breida a shot. No, let's. Singletary's clearly taken over the job, and the offense is overall better. The offensive line looks as good as it's been in a long time, right? No sacks the last 4 games, opening holes for the running game, the pass protection for Josh. The Bills have done a pretty nice job, I think, of, you know, preserving Sanders and Beasley and helping them, keeping them off the field or limiting snaps to get them through the injuries. The Bills receivers are healthier than they were when they played Kansas City in the playoffs last year, right? Diggs and Beasley were really banged up going into that game. And you add McKenzie, you know, when you have Davis, I just think the way they're playing as an entire unit, it's their best ball of the season. It's a really good looking group right now. And to your point, yeah, I think it is a deeper, more dangerous overall unit than what Kansas City's is right now. You know, by the way, Kansas City, speaking of offensive line, those guys have been really good for them too, right? They turned their whole offensive line over, and they've been really good run blocking, pass protecting. I think the Bills are overall a better offense than Kansas City. And I do agree with you, Ron. I think the Bills' defense is better than Kansas City's defense right now too. So I think we will have a really close, nail-biting football game on Sunday night.
Are you ready for it?
I don't know, Jeremy. That's really good. Yeah, it's going to be a different attitude, I think, when I wake up Sunday. As much as I was really confident they were going to beat New England, there was always that voice, that little part of me that was terrified of the prospect of what if they lost to the Patriots. If they lose to Kansas City, don't get me wrong, it'll be depressing. but it won't. It would not be the same as, oh my Lord, they lost to the Patriots. It would not be like that for me. So I'm not sure how I'm going to feel. And I
didn't think they were going to lose to New England. And they could lose to Kansas City Sunday night for sure. Mahomes could come out and have a really big game. So I don't know. I'm not sure what Sunday's going to be like. My guess is I will be far more nervous than I was for the Patriots game. Mac Jones wasn't coming out and lighting up the Bills.
Yep.
Mahomes could do that. So I'm going to guess I will be much more intense, more nervous, and edge of seat. I was pretty relaxed during the game against New England, and it went in the Bills' favor pretty quickly. I'm going to probably guess that Sunday will be much more nail-biting for me than last Saturday night.
Sunday represents, if they come up short, you know, how would you feel? It wouldn't be the same as coming up short to New England. I agree with that. But it would be, even though you beat them in the regular season, it's the new dragon to slay.
Yeah.
They end your season twice.
Yeah, it'd be very disappointing.
And teams that you think are Super Bowl caliber to be, you know, to meet your demise twice to the same team in the same stadium.
Right. And again, I think the Bills are playing their best football of the season, right? Offense, defense, yep. Special teams outside of the punter. You know, I think everything seems to be coming together at the right time for these guys, and they're in a nice little run right here. So, yeah, if it doesn't, they can absolutely win the Super Bowl. And if it doesn't happen, and if they don't even get to the game for the right to be in the Super Bowl, yeah, it'll be disappointing in a different way than if they would have lost to New England. 803-0550 to join us. We are talking all things Bills Chiefs. What is your confidence level for the game Sunday night? That's one of the many things we are discussing. You can bring in a question, a comment, opinion, whatever you'd like to do. We will also talk a little hockey when we get back. We'll check in with our Paul Hamilton next on WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
And a quick pass finds Kyle Pozo, and the veteran will bring it up to center ice. Takes a big hit out to center as he made the dump in, and now Pezzik comes in, Olofsson as well, and the Sabres are going to get away from the crowd. Now Jankowski's got behind, everybody scores! While all heck was breaking loose in front of the benches, the puck comes free, and Jankowski says, I'm taking it to the house. It's 2-1 Buffalo.
Going to make that one of the moments of the game, one of the crazier things you probably ever saw in a hockey game. The moment brought to you by First Jewelers. For all the moments in your life, go forth to Firth. Dan Dunleavy on the call. That's the play where Oposo got hurt. And what turns out to be the game-winning goal. We'll bring in Mr. Paul Hamilton on our West Her hotline. And we'll talk more about what happened last night in Ottawa. Paul, brought to you by Equitable Advisors. Planning for your future is about more than just money. Let Equitable be your guide. And by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this. Good morning, Mr. Hamilton. How are you today?
Good morning. Once the Bills season is over, do you start picking the Mets?
Fourth best odds to win the World Series this year. Hot shot. I believe ahead of your Yankees. Anyway.
Are you happy with the manager?
Yeah, I'm okay with it. Don't sidetrack me, Hamilton. We got plenty of time to get to the Mets. They're probably not starting the season on time. So,
Paul.
Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead,
Jeremy. I was going to test your memory.
Oh, no.
So, thank God this is not for me. Go ahead, Paul. You got this one all by yourself.
Somebody else out there will remember this. The Jankowski goal. Have you ever seen anything like that in your life? The answer is yes.
Oh. Yeah, I was going to say probably, but I don't remember.
I'll tell you, I'm 99% sure. I think it was Jason Pominville. The Sabres played the Red Wings here when Hasek was with the Red Wings. And that a scrum right in front of the bench that looked like the play should have stopped, and I'm pretty sure Pominville came out and then went and scored on a breakaway. Like a very, very similar play.
You've got a good memory, because wow. As you've talked about it, I don't remember it. But.
Well, someone else out there might remember. I think it's Pominville. I think Hasek's in net. I know it's Detroit. I know it's Detroit, and I know it's the exact same kind of goal where what's going on? Are you going to blow a whistle? What? Oh, okay. Yeah, fine. Goal. You know, like someone else will remember that because, you know, it's such a weird kind of play, right? Like, how do officials decide not to just, you know, all right, let's figure things out over here just because the puck is loose, I guess, right?
That's right.
You know, like,
yeah. If the puck's in there, you know how they're always yelling, move it, move it. If the puck was in there, they would have blown the whistle. But since the puck was in the other end, they didn't. They just let it all go on. Now, the reason they should have blown the whistle, and the reason being Ottawa had too many men on the ice, but they didn't see it. So they didn't have a delayed penalty up, and Ottawa with the puck and blow the whistle then. So, you know, Brown comes out of the zone. He looks up, and all he sees is one guy in front of him. I believe it might have been his defensive partner and Hauser and a scrum. But, I mean, basically, had he had manned the puck up, they're gone. So he comes up, and at the last possible second, if you look at the scrum, you see Olofsson and Samuelsson all of a sudden look. And they take one step towards center ice, and at that point, that's when Jankowski, who was trailing the two of them, lifted the stick. And because he had been in on a forecheck, so he lifted the stick and goes the other way. But, you know, had Brown been a little more savvy and had manned that puck up, they had a possible 2-on-0 going the other way, because basically the only ones on the ice playing were the two goaltenders, the two Ottawa players, and the one Sabre player. The rest of them were all in a pile in front of the bench area.
So there was really no definitive word on Oposo, right, from Granato?
No, he normally doesn't know after games. He waits until players get examined the next day, and we probably aren't going to hear today because they're scheduled for a day off today, and I don't think it's one of those where they have a choice. I think it's a mandated day off. So we probably won't hear anything till tomorrow's morning skate.
Michael Hauser, let's talk about him, because he was a busy dude last night.
43 saves, and boy, he had 33 saves through two periods. And then, interestingly enough, the Sabres played a nice third period on a back-to-back. Ottawa's not on a back-to-back, but the Sabres were. But they really had really not much pressure on Forsberg, which was a shame because Forsberg hadn't played in a month. You know, the last time he played was December 18th.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because Ottawa had only played three games in that time, and Murray had played them all. So he didn't know he was going to play. Murray was supposed to play. He got sick. The backup goalie didn't get there from Belleville till the game had started. So all of a sudden he's in net for the first time in a month, and the Cousins play catches him napping, the goal in the first period. And I'm thinking, boy, you've got a goaltender here. You've already caught napping once. He hasn't played in a month, and you guys are putting absolutely no pressure on him whatsoever. He had 21 shots. I don't know if any of them were, wow, what a save, you know, type of a thing. But then the third period, they started going after him. And he's had to make some saves, and they were getting some good offensive opportunities. They looked more like the way Don Granato wants them to play. They outshot the Senators after being outshot badly in the first two periods. And they get a couple of goals, and as Bulldog says, got that one into the garage and got out of there 3-1. By the way, Tuck, with a goal and assist, now has 7 points in the 7 games he's played here in Buffalo. Point a game so far.
There's a line about getting it in the garage but not being able to get it out on the street and down the street, but I won't go there. You know, sometimes we make fun of Paul in his articles because he can be angry Paul, and it's rather entertaining. Happy Paul in your article. There were a couple things I wanted to bring up. One, the Oposo play and the hit on Butcher, where Eakin goes in after the guy, and then basically John Hayden says, get out of the way. I want to get a fight in here with Tkachuk. But you made a point to point out that Sabres were sticking up for each other.
Yeah, Craig Reve tweeted out, good things happen when the boys stick up for each other. And he's right. And, you know, it wasn't like Hayden really, he doesn't really throw many punches. When he gets in a fight, it's basically grab the jersey and throw the guy around a little bit. I don't care what he did, and I really don't care he got an instigator. You got to get in there on that, and he did. He was there immediately, and that's the type of penalty, if he gets an instigator, you go kill it off, and they did.
Mm-hmm.
and you try to gain some momentum from the situation, kill off the penalty. But I'm sorry, he has to be there, and he was. And then, you know, Mark Pesek is not a guy who's, you know, going to be, you know, a fighting and that type of thing. But he was there immediately after Oposo got boarded. And, you know, he was right on top of Brännström, who was on the ice, and he jumped him right away. And everybody was in there except Jankowski, who didn't see it because the puck went in the other end. So he went in the other end, and he didn't even see what was going on. He said all – he didn't even know it until he had come out and was coming out of the zone, and he sees this pile. He's wondering what's going on, but he kept playing, luckily, for the Sabres. And you know, you just stick together, be there for each other, and they definitely were, and that helps teams come together when you are.
You weren't just happy, Paul. You were effusive, Paul. Look at
don't
you.
Don't use
you...
words I don't know the meaning of.
Okay. Means you were heaping praise on Mattias Samuelsson, calling him fantastic last night.
Well, I think the coaching staff thought he was fantastic because who usually gets the bulk of the work? It's Dahlin. Yeah. And he wasn't even at 20 minutes. 21-year-old Mattias Samuelsson in his second NHL game this season went 22-01, the most of any Sabre on the ice, and he deserved it. I mean, in the two, I said after the first game, you know what, you know, he's really showing. And you and I have talked about this many times, or I say you and I, all of us, the three of us have talked about this many times, that, you know, in the prospects tournament, he was so good. Mm-hmm. And it was just a shame he got hurt in training camp, because there's no question in my mind he would have made the team. And, you know, he comes up and both games was really, really good. And I think the coaching staff showed everything you need to know about if he's going back. I know he's the guy that doesn't clear waivers. So what? I mean, he's got to be one of your six guys for the rest of the season. I mean, and you think about it, on the left side, next year you've got Power, Dahlin, and, well, likely Power if he mm-hmm. comes out of Michigan, Power, Dahlin, and Samuelsson. I mean, that's your left side for a long time. And, you know, then you're looking at, well, can Johnson over at the University of Minnesota, maybe can he move to the right? Or, you know, you got Joakim Harju on the right. Fitzgerald was okay. And, you know, then you're kind of looking for guys for the right. But to me, he can't go down. Now, Jacob Bryson is no longer waiver exempt. But if you got to waive Butcher, so be it. Miller and Hague are on expiring contracts, so there's a good chance one or both will be traded anyway before the trade deadline. So if you got to trade one of those guys once Miller is no longer injured, go for it. They're unrestricted free agents next year. But the time has come. They have to make room for Samuelsson. And in my mind, he has to be here. And just listen to what Granato, you know, said about him. You know, his first thing out of his mouth, well, there's good reason to put trust in him. You know, and he was just glowing about him, too.
Sorry, I didn't mean to chuckle during your response, but the internet is a wonderful thing, and so is Jeremy's memory. Within moments of you bringing up the Pominville goal, someone tweeted in a link of the video.
March 2nd, 2008.
And it's really funny to watch. Like, they're all along the boards.
It's the same goal?
Yeah, they're right in the neutral zone around the red line. Everybody's over there, and you're like, oh, they're going to blow the whistle. It's a scrum, and all of a sudden, this guy with the Sabres comes out with the puck. Like, hey!
Well, see, I got to depend on you.
Pominville.
I got to depend on you guys for memory. I mean,
I didn't remember it, Paul. I looked at the video. It's really funny.
Well, Mike
to watch.
And Jeremy are good at that stuff. So I got one in the morning and I got one in the afternoon who remember that kind of stuff. And then, oh yeah, okay, that's right.
Hey, I remembered your name. Like, that's as far as it's expected. my bar is very low when it comes to memory, and that's why Jeremy's always here picking me up. All right, Mr. H. So was there anything? No. Okay, I guess that was it.
See, you can't even remember.
I have no idea what I was doing. Oh, no, I had one. I want to mention quickly. So it sounds like there were some tweets yesterday that maybe today we're going to get everybody's updated schedules from the league.
Yeah, it looks like it. We'll see. You know, maybe a 10-day break for the players around the All-Star break/Olympics.
Yep.
Which means I don't think they're going to get all the games in that were postponed. So I don't see how they can avoid not going into May. I know they would prefer not to, but I think they have to.
Yeah.
Maybe a lot of the Canadian games will be in May with thinking,
get fans
all right,
back.
You know, yeah. Maybe things will be better up there. We can put fans in the stands, but we'll see. But I just think they're going to get into May.
All right, sir. Thank you as always for your time.
Take care, guys.
All right, Paul, you too. Have a good day. Paul's segment on the Western Hotline brought to you by Equitable Advisors. Planning for your future is about more than just money. Let Equitable be your guide, and by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this.
This highlight from March 2nd, 2008. It's Sabres Red Wings. The game is on Versus? Or is this
Versus.
Pominville, Connolly, Spacek, Stafford.
And the goalie for the Red Wings?
Hasek.
It's just funny to watch.
Yeah.
It is really, and it's weird, like all of a sudden, right, because you focus on the scrum, and I closed the link. It wasn't just Pominville. Wasn't there at least one other Sabre who was with him? It was like nobody from Detroit, and all of a sudden they're just kind of skating in free on Hasek, and boom, they pop the goal
yeah,
in.
Yeah, I think it's Spacek that's behind him, but I mean, it's a breakaway.
Spacek man? Spacho man? Spacho man. 803-0550 to join us. Hey, what's your confidence level on the Bills game Sunday night? You can grab a line on that and let us know. Questions, comments, opinions, all things Bills Chiefs, WGR.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We've got a certain skill set that we try to utilize. You know, it's not just motions and stuff like that. He can do a lot of other things. Again, you can have, you know, I'd like to think we have a good amount of skilled players that we have a lot of confidence and trust in. And you try to put five in the game that you're never always going to have the same five guys. You've seen the way we kind of spread it out last week. And he's been a good asset for us. You know, when he's had an opportunity, he's made some plays for us.
Brian Daboll earlier this week talking about Isaiah McKenzie, the impact he's had on this offense in this winning streak. You know, we are where we were a year ago, wondering if Brian Daboll will be leaving for a head coaching job in the offseason. Want to ask you, Jeremy, he's been interviewed by the Dolphins. He's been interviewed by the Bears. His name is being mentioned with the Giants, although the Giants are still going through GM interviews. Seems like Joe Shane has a really good shot at that job. New York Post referred to him as a very strong candidate. The New York Daily News says there might be a package deal in the works. If Shane is hired, they would want Daboll and Shane together. If you're Brian Daboll, I don't think he's been mentioned with any of the other five openings. Correct me if I'm wrong. So I think it's just the Giants, Bears, and Dolphins at this point. If you're Brian Daboll, what's the best spot? Where would you like to be if you had your choice of all these places?
That's a good question. Miami is obviously nice.
Weather-wise?
He's been there before.
Yes, he's been there before, too.
Yeah. He's there with Joe Philbin's. No, Tony Sperano?
Oh, that is a good question.
It was Tony Sperano's staff. Right. Yep. I'll tell you this way. I think Daniel Jones should want Brian Daboll.
Mm-hmm.
Big, athletic, strong-armed, mobile quarterback.
Yes, absolutely, yeah. Yep.
Please save me. Help me. Save me from the Jason Garrett offense he was just in. And, man, the Giants' last couple coaches, I even forgot about
Ben McAdoo. Yeah, that was
from Ben McAdoo
good
to
reason.
Joe Judge.
Yeah, good reason to forget about Ben McAdoo's little time there, yeah.
So, I mean, the Giants, I would say. The division is, I don't know if, you know, coaches think about what's my chance to win in the division all that quickly. You could look at Chicago because nobody's really a real power there other than the Packers, who may be losing their quarterback.
Right.
Maybe.
Right.
If he still wants out. So I like the Giants as an idea for him, but, you know.
And
it's tough.
Shane gets the job, at least he knows the guy he's working with as far as the general manager is concerned.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking, and it sounds like I would have thought, you know, Miami is intriguing, and I know he's got to deal with Josh Allen and the Bills. Miami's intriguing, but if they're sticking with Tua, I'm not sure how much more you can do with Tua Tagovailoa. I'm really not. If you pick the three guys, if it's Tua Tagovailoa, Justin Fields, and Daniel Jones, I think I know exactly who Tua is. I would put him third on that list. I think I can work with Jones. I think I can work with Fields. I think there's some ability there. How far they go, who knows? I'm not sure if there's much of a ceiling for Tua, so I don't know that that would be attractive from a quarterback standpoint. So if I were Dable, I honestly would lean towards the Giants at this point. I'd be afraid of Chicago because it sounds like, you know, ownership and the president over there and management is just a train wreck and has been for a long time. I would lean towards trying to fix Daniel Jones. I mean, I've got Barkley. I've got some pieces in place. I wouldn't worry about Washington. I wouldn't worry about Philly. I'm not a huge Jalen Hurts guy. I think I just would, you know, you do have Dallas in your division, but I don't think Dallas is like this untouchable.
They're keeping McCarthy, so yeah. That helps.
I still can't get over that. So yeah, I would think I would take the Giants out of that, out of those three, if indeed he's offered any of those or all those jobs. I think that is I think that'd be the best place. And then Chicago would be second. I'd probably put Miami third because it sounds like they've ruled out the idea of pursuing Deshaun Watson this offseason based on what everything is coming out of South Florida.
So the AFC East this year was going to be Allen, rookie Wilson, rookie Jones, and Tua getting his first season
full
as a
year.
Starter,
yeah,
right?
Right.
Next year, the same four starters?
Yeah, I would think
so.
Yes.
You think Jones is back as the starter?
Yeah, I do.
You think Tua's back and Zach Wilson back as the starter?
I think Jones is back, and I think more and more, you're hearing more and more about, you know, that knowing they'll make some kind of splash receiver move, that
as
they'll
they
do
should.
Something to get a huge offensive weapon in the passing game for this kid.
If they can get Allen Robinson, they should get him.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. There was another name thrown out yesterday. I wish I could remember who it was. I know that Calvin
Isn't Devontae
Ridley thing was
Adams
thrown out.
A free agent and wouldn't.
I think you're right. Yes.
I think it's Devontae Adams. And yes. If Rodgers leaves, maybe he would leave.
Uh-oh, they're getting Rodgers and Adams in New England? Yeah, I'm pretty sure you're right about Adams being a UFA. I think they'll stick with Mac Jones. I really do. I think they'll just try and get some, like I said, target whoever they believe is the best receiver they can get. Not a draft pick, but someone established in the league. Their Diggs trade, right? They tried to get Diggs.
They tried to get Diggs.
Try and do something like that again and get that level player in for your passing offense. Sal is on the way, 803-0550 to join us, 888-550-2550. We've got lines open for your Bills, questions, comments, opinions, whatever's on your mind this morning to join us here on WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.